Welcome to this edition of the Freshfields podcast. My name is Rachel Annier from our London office, and I'm here with Richard Bird from our Hong Kong office.
Hello.
And Peter Jaffe from our Washington office.
Hello.
So we're here today to talk about data ethics. We've been hearing a lot about data ethics recently in the UK, and I thought it'd be interesting to hear perspectives from Asia and the US to see what's going on globally. Many of our clients are facing this as a global issue, and I think we're all aware that there's been a lot of development in the EU and in particular in the UK in this space recently. There's lots of different aspects to the data ethics debate, and we're going to focus today on how that plays out in data privacy. I think that reflects where the debate is at the moment. I think we first ought to start with what data ethics means. So, Richard, how about we start in Asia?
To be honest, it's not a term that one hears discussed very often. I think the conversation is still at a relatively early stage. It's not really something that's been explored at great depth in the media, and it's not a conversation I have very often with clients. At the same time, regulators are increasingly concerned about this. The adoption of AI, I think, is probably more advanced in Asia, particularly in China and Japan, than probably anywhere else in the world. We have advanced industries in the digital space. And so there's lots of questions that regulators are beginning to grapple with. And certainly the financial regulators in Asia, also the privacy regulators, have indicated quite a bit of concern around the inability that they have to actually regulate this space with the tools that they have at their disposal. And so they're looking to supplement the gap between, if you like, adherence to sort of minimum standards laid down by law and what is really required to provide proper accountability and respect for the different and quite challenging situations that AI in particular gets us into. So the Hong Kong regulator recently produced a paper, which I'm sure we'll come on to discuss in a bit more depth later. But one of the things I found quite interesting was the detailed way in which they laid out the concerns that they have. So they have very clear concerns about the, you know, enormous collection of data and the almost ubiquitous situations which data is collected from multiple sources without a great deal of awareness on the part of the consumer. They have a lot of concerns around the risk of re-identification and linkage of data sets, removing anonymity, and around the inherent risk of discrimination, particularly in profiling, and the limits on the ability to explain the logic involved in what are very, very complex algorithms, and then in particular in the AI context, the use of self-evolving logic. These are extremely difficult things to get across to consumers in a meaningful and transparent way.
I think it's really interesting what you say, that data ethics isn't used as a particular term at the moment over in Asia, because it's actually something we hear about a lot in the UK and Europe. And I think for me, at a high level, it's really applying a value judgment to the use of data, fueled by the GDPR compliance debate and the big rush last May we saw to sort of a tick box compliance exercise, and really moving beyond that to accountability. Some of the same themes that you've sort of discussed in terms of discrimination, bias, and transparency are all things that resonate here. It's just they seem to be attracting a particular label of data ethics. How about in the US, Peter?
I think our situation in the US is similar to what Richard is seeing in Asia. I'm not sure that data ethics is a term that is widely understood outside of the context of, you know, sort of the community that is closely involved in tech issues and legal tech issues. The wider public, I don't think, has a concrete idea of data ethics as a unique thing. On the other hand, there's really robust public debate going on right now about all of the issues that Richard talked about and that you've talked about. So, you know, in the United States, I think there's a perception that we are playing catch up when it comes to data privacy. Simultaneously, there are other debates happening about bias in all sorts of contexts. There's, you know, whether data-driven AI is injecting bias into lending, into things like employment or any other areas where we have traditional anti-discrimination laws. But then there's also a question of whether AI and data-driven AI is injecting bias into political debate, for example. And that's been an extremely hot topic, especially in light of the elections of the past few years.
I think the fact that the UK has a sophisticated financial services sector, which has led to the UK wanting to lead the debate around particularly something like a use of algorithms in financial services. This has led to the Financial Conduct Authority picking up on the concept of data ethics and specifically calling it out in the business plan, and then leading with sets of questions about what that's going to mean for whether they're going to have a policy framework for collection of data, the explainability of AI and algorithms, how you get over that transparency hurdle. So it is starting to become a bit more concrete in the UK.
In the United States, you certainly have the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, holding a series of public debates into all of the new issues being raised by data. And it covered a lot of things well beyond data ethics. But there are a number of sessions specifically about the topics that we in this room are terming data ethics. The interesting thing in the United States, of course, is that the Federal Trade Commission has sort of a broad authority for unfair and deceptive trade practices, but there are carve-outs for certain industries that are regulated by other regulators. And there's a complex interaction between the FTC's authority and the authority of, say, banking regulators. And this has gotten more complex in the past few years because of political wrangling, and you've got other entities like the Consumer Finance Protection Board. But it therefore makes it a little bit unclear about who, if anyone, is going to have the authority to try to step in and regulate here. And I think that that's just a big wild card in the U.S.
I think that's probably the same position in the UK as well. The Information Commissioner, obviously from a GDPR perspective, is interested in things like ad tech and has introduced an AI framework which looks at accountability under AI and how you actually explain these decisions, but also looks at the ethics of the outputs, which is where I think the bias conversation comes in. The Competition and Markets Authority has announced a market study into looking at things like digital advertising and the online space. And there's also a new regulator for regulating online harms. And so there is a lot of debate with a number of different government organizations and regulators, but no single sort of data ethics regulator, although that term is being used.
Legal conversations around data privacy are, you know, very fast evolving. It's also, in a sense, in many countries, quite a new thing. So even a country as sophisticated and deep an economy as Singapore first introduced the Data Privacy Act relatively recently. India still does not have a data privacy regime in place, although it has a bill before Parliament at the moment. And there's a number of other countries that are either still in the process of formulating data privacy laws or have only just released them. So it is at a more nascent stage. There's no question about that. But at the same time, and I think this is being, or China is the standout example of this, the conversation moves very, very quickly. And the overwhelming proliferation of digital services businesses throws up a lot of situations in which consumers are confronted with questions around their willingness to expose their personal data to very extensive usage by these businesses. China presents a very fascinating dynamic. All of the big Chinese tech companies have been subject to private litigation around data privacy in the last few years. We've had some examination of data privacy practices in the media, including a recent spat between the chairman and chief executive of Geely and Tencent, how Tencent was using personal data collected through WeChat. China also has a very active army of netizens, digital vigilantes, who are very, very quick to point out practices that are not acceptable to them. And actually, if anything, regulators perhaps are, in China, in our experience, somewhat more concerned about the reaction to the practice, and in particular the reaction on social media, than necessarily the practice itself. So it is a very, very fascinating place to watch. But all of these conversations are gaining momentum, there's no question about it, and that will move, I suspect, very quickly into a closer examination of the ethical dimension as well.
You know, and Richard, you just mentioned something that piques my interest as a U.S. lawyer, which is the idea of private lawsuits driving some of this. Because in the United States, I think that there are an assortment of existing laws that cover, you know, this or that social ill, from discrimination to bias in lending to privacy, for that matter. And that what we are seeing now is attempts by private litigants in courts to adapt these laws or to apply these laws simply to a new world that is driven by big data. And so, you know, I've mentioned this a few times, but, you know, great examples are fairness in lending laws and what happens when big data sets are used to make lending decisions. Well, it's not just a matter of data privacy, because in most of these cases, everybody's given their consent to use of the data. You know, the issue is you might not be able to explain the lending decision, and so you've got this explainability and transparency problem. And it sounds like you're seeing some of that in Asia. I'm curious, Rachel, what you're seeing in the UK and Europe.
I think it's really interesting, actually, because just listening to both you and Richard talking, it's quite clear to me that actually, because this is being driven by regulators and sort of government bodies in the UK and Europe, there's a lot of studies into things like algorithmic decision making in the financial services sector. There are market studies into what's happening. It's filtered into, as I said before, into the FCA's business plan, and they're looking at what this means. Because it's being driven by the regulators, everybody's trying to still figure out what it means in practice for businesses. And we are seeing clients looking at putting in data ethics frameworks into their practices. And part of it is the regulatory piece, but also part of it is the business piece. As consumers get more aware of their issues around data. So you will appreciate, no doubt, that the GDPR was a very sort of public change in regulation, and consumers are much more aware of what's happening with their personal data and are asking a lot more questions about it. So there's certainly a piece around trust for organisations operating in the EU with consumers to not only sort of demonstrate compliance with the GDPR, but to take it beyond that and to really demonstrate that they are being trustworthy with what's happening with their data.
I can say that the GDPR has certainly not escaped anyone's attention in Asia, not least because many Asian companies are directly exposed to it. But perhaps uniquely, or at least this is not something I've seen since the FCPA came out in the US or began to be more actively enforced against Asian companies, GDPR has really attracted a lot of attention. There's been a remarkably quick adoption of some of the principles of the GDPR into Asian laws. So we've seen this in China, we've seen this in Singapore, we've seen this in the Philippines. And again, both Singapore and the Philippines didn't have a data privacy law at all until around 2012. But they've recently updated those laws to incorporate some of the principles of the GDPR. India presents the most interesting study. The commission that examined the principles upon which the Indian Data Privacy Bill has been based studied the GDPR extremely carefully, alongside other approaches, including the US approach and the more sort of cybersecurity-driven approach in China, and came out with, yes, a hybrid model, but certainly a model which is most closely aligned to the GDPR. So that flow-down effect is happening very quickly.
Is there any challenge with the sort of principles-based nature, do you think, of the GDPR as it plays out in Asia?
Yes and no. So in countries that were sort of quicker to adopt data privacy laws, they tend to be based around the OECD principles and quite closely followed the previous European directive. Chinese data privacy laws, which are actually an amalgamation of multiple sources of laws and regulations, have entirely ditched the principles-based approach and adopted, firstly, an entirely consent-based approach to data privacy collection and usage of personal data. But also, despite the very high-level nature of the laws themselves, which I quite recently saw the cybersecurity law described as nothing more than a table of contents, but the implementation of those laws is extremely detailed. And some of the guidance that's been put out by regulators is more detailed, more granular than anything I've seen anywhere else in the world. So even to the extent of mandating no more than four clicks or four swipes to get to the consent form.
And, you know, similarly in the United States, I think that the principles-based approach to legislation is just, it's just not our style. We tend to have rules-based laws. And so when you start to see laws like the California Consumer Privacy Act come into force, that'll come into force on January 1st, it was an attempt to apply GDPR style principles, but frankly, it doesn't resemble a principles-based approach. It resembles an American law, which is labyrinthine and extremely rules-based.
And I think this is where in the EU, there's a lot of space for data ethics in how you interpret the GDPR. There are obviously rules as part of the GDPR and things that everybody knows you have to do, but the broad principles that we've been discussing that are part of the debate, the accountability, fairness, transparency, they are open to so much interpretation that it is this kind of concept of data ethics, and the regulators and the studies are all trying to work out what it means in practice. And no doubt that will inform how people are embedding GDPR compliance. It'll be interesting to see the effect of those studies and what the regulators are requiring in the UK, whether they have an effect across Asia and the US as well, and how global businesses will be grappling how to roll that out on a global basis.
Yeah, so we've seen actually quite a lot of activity at the regulator level in the last 6 months or so. The PCPD, which is the Data Privacy Authority in Hong Kong, recently produced a very extensive paper putting forward a data stewardship accountability framework, including a template for an ethical impact assessment. And that was immediately picked up by the HKMA, the banking regulator in Hong Kong, which wrote to all authorized institutions in Hong Kong to endorse that approach. Similarly, in Singapore at the end of last year, and this was actually led by the Monetary Authority, the financial services regulator, but quickly echoed by the privacy regulator, put out a paper presenting a set of principles, the FIAT principles, fairness, ethics, accountability, and transparency, to address, in particular, the adoption of AI in fintech and the financial services more generally. We also saw Japan take the lead around the G7 conference back in July 2017, presenting a set of guidelines for research and development in the AI field.
And I wonder how much of the focus on AI and ethics, how much is driven by the fact that obviously China is a key player in the development of the technology of AI, and the EU is trying to position itself as leading on the regulatory side and at least competing in the technology space. They've published the AI ethical principles framework, and with concepts such as human-centric design and fairness and accountability, all those things we've been discussing. And there's a bit of a international debate to be played out as to who is going to be leading, I suppose, in the regulatory space for AI.
Yeah, I mean, I often hear it said that it's in China's interest to have slightly more lax approach to data privacy to enable the development of these industries. But I'm not really sure that that's quite what I'm seeing on the ground. The law, as I say, is although it's still evolving, is evolving very quickly and evolving to a very stringent position. That said, enforcement is still somewhat sporadic. It tends to be campaign based, so a campaign addressing either a particular industry or a particular data practice, as opposed to the more sort of routine incident-based enforcement, which still remain today quite low by international standards in China, which perhaps would force companies to confront their practices more.
I've also heard people in the United States advocate for less stringent privacy laws for the sake of developing industry in the United States. Particularly vis-a-vis China and Europe. And I wonder if that's quite correct, precisely because GDPR has such wide-ranging jurisdictional reach. A lot of the major companies already have to comply with very strict data privacy laws. Where I think it might make a difference is for startups. Some of those may not have really reached internationally yet. And so they may not yet be subject to GDPR. They might only be subject to laws within the United States. And for those types of businesses, there I think maybe the stringency of the data privacy and data ethics regulations might make a bit of a difference in their ability to grow. For major industries, I'm not sure that whatever we do in the United States, or for that matter, whatever we do in Asia, is going to matter that much, because GDPR is likely already applicable to some of these enterprises.
I think it's quite clear from our discussion that actually there's quite a lot of similarities amongst the debate that's happening in Asia and in Europe and in the US, and particularly grappling with how to handle new technologies and how that impacts on consumers. Although there are obvious differences in which direction the debate is coming from and how the details of the debate will play out. I wanted to just thank you, Richard and Peter. It's been a really interesting discussion to hear about what's going on, and I think lots more to watch in the coming months and years.
Thank you.
Thank you.